I am so glad wrinkles don't hurt. If you got your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter number 8. I'll be real short. My voice is trying to go crazy on me. Luke chapter number 8, verse number 40. And it came to pass. That's a good scripture. That when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. The reason that scripture's there is because he had just came from the land of the Gadarenes and cast the devil out of a man, and they all got scared and they run him off. But he got in his boat and come over here, and these people was glad to see him. And I'm glad when he shows up. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Amen. You can be seated. I thank God for being here today. I'll just have to talk kind of slow, because if I get too excited, I'll lose my voice. But I just want to mention three things out of these scriptures that I read about this woman. And she was a woman that had a need, a bad need. And I'd like to use for a thought today, when desperation touches deity. Because sometimes when you have a need, you got to get desperate. And she was really, really desperate. I mean, 12 years she was going through this trial. And she spent everything she had on doctors, and they could do nothing more for her. So sometimes we think, well, I got a need. It might be the best thing ever happened to you. Do you think she would have sought Jesus if she hadn't had that need? I doubt very seriously. And sometimes when we don't have needs, we don't care much about seeking him or trying to get a healing. It's usually when we had a need. Jesus did not associate himself with the upper class, the politicians of the day, or the important people, the rich people. He associated himself with people that had a need. He told them himself, he said, "They that are whole, they don't need a doctor. Only those that are sick." And he is the great physician. And he came down to associate with people. You wouldn't want to put a doctor in a room full of people that's completely well. He's wasting his time. A doctor needs to be somewhere where people are in need. And this is why Jesus came to this people there. They wanted him. They needed him. We got to recognize to ourselves sometimes we need him. I can't do without him. There's no way that I can do without him. Tracy, would you bring me a water bottle back there? Oh, he's got one here. It's okay. I'll just use a fresh one. Anyway, because of her need, she began to seek help, and help was available. Not only did she have a need, but because of his nearness, she could touch him. You know what? He was on another land, another country, or another piece of property, and had a water in between them. She couldn't get near him while he was there. So because of his nearness to her, she could touch him. I'm going to tell you something. This might make you mad, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Your chances of touching Jesus are so much greater in church than they are at home. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, I will be there in the midst of them. We know he's here. There's two or three here. My chances of getting a miracle are greater here than they are out on the golf course or they are somewhere in a ball game. If we really get desperate, you'll put all of the stuff that's got you hindered from and seek him. Jesus said, seek me and live. God said, if you want to live, seek me. And so this woman, she wanted to live. 12 years of having this problem. She didn't have a blood disease. She had an issue of blood. Let's see how I can put it in a nice way. She had girl problems. I mean, not just once in a while, 12 years. You think she didn't want to get desperate? She had to get desperate because she didn't have no more money to give to the doctors. And sometimes when we get desperate, we see God move. And God wants us to know that I've got what you want. How bad do you want it? They that seek me with their whole heart, he said, I'll be found of you. And so this woman had a need. And not only did she have a need, but she saw Jesus was coming near. And because of his nearness, she could reach out and touch him. I want to tell you a little bit about her. After 12 years, she had to be weak. You know what blood is? Blood is the essence of life. The Bible puts it this way. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So when you bleed, you're dying. I know a little bit about that. I've had my throat cut all the way to the windpipe, and blood gushed out every time my heart beat. But I had a mom that could pray, and she laid hands on me, and the blood stopped. She had so much faith, she made him let me clean him up before you take him to the hospital. Changed my clothes to give me a bath. And here I am bleeding to death. And my dad wouldn't let me go to sleep because when you lose your blood, you get weak. That woman had to be a weak woman. And so not only because of his nearness could she touch him, but because of his nature. This miracle could not have happened in the old Bible. God did not let people get close to him. He told Moses, you tell the people to stay at the bottom of the mountain. In fact, the presence of God was in an ark, and they didn't carry it by hand. They run poles through rings, and they carried it that way. And one man decided he was going to help God a little bit when the ox stumbled, and he reached out and touched the ark, and God killed him. This miracle could not have happened in the old Bible, but because of the nature of him, she could touch him. You see, God was always feared because they couldn't see him. They heard the thunder. They heard his voice. But there was no visible God that they could look upon. And they automatically feared because they knew he was powerful. If he wanted to destroy their enemies, he could do it One angel would kill 185,000 Syrians. God's reputation was so fierce that nobody had ever saw him before. But listen to what happened a little over 2,000 years ago. The Word became flesh. That is an undisputable fact. You cannot argue against it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. Hallelujah. Thank God. He said his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. Because of his nature, that little woman could touch deity. It's so powerful to realize that the Almighty came down and became man. The infinite became an infant. The voice that cried in the wilderness for the Red Sea to depart was now preaching the Word of God. And his name is Jesus. No way you can deny it. The seed of the woman and the power of the Holy Ghost came into union, and that made, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And when the Holy Ghost overshadowed a virgin, we have a Savior that's called Jesus. He became one with man. I'm the product of Eva and Roy Tucker. Their union is marriage, and I am the one of them. Sometimes I act like mommy, and sometimes I act like daddy. Jesus was born of God and of a woman, and sometimes he had the attributes of a woman or of his mother, of man, and he had the attributes of God. Because them two shall be one. There's no surgeon can come into my body and separate the Eva from the Roy that's in me. And there's no theologian or anybody can go in and separate Jesus and Mary from God. He became one with us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Why? Well, Hebrews 2 and 14 said, when Jesus came into the world, he chose not the nature of an angel. He could have, but he didn't. Because we don't know what angels feel like, and angels don't know what we feel like. But he said he took upon himself the seed of Abraham. And by taking upon himself the seed of Abraham, he became like unto his brethren, and he became a high priest, and he's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what we're going through with. He was tempted in every way that we are tempted. And he knows when you are going through something, but he wants you to know, if you get desperate enough, I'll give you what you want, but you're going to have to show me that you really need it. You really want it. And how are you going to get it? You're just going to have to believe. There's nothing you can do except believe. And once you believe, okay, just to give you a few things to show both sides of him. He wasn't half God and half man. He was all God and all man. Because he could say, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. So if he's got all power in heaven and in earth, then he doesn't lack anything that God lacks. He's the same power that God, because he is God manifest in the flesh. And then he showed the side of the humanity side of him. Because as a man, or as Jesus, he slept in the bottom of the boat. But as God, he raised up and said, peace, be still. And the storm died down. As a man, He cried and said, I thirst. But as the God part of him, he said, come unto me, all ye that thirst, and I'll give you water of life, and there'll be a river coming up out of your inner being, and you'll never thirst again. He manifested both God and man because he's a Savior and he knows what we're going through with. He cried when Lazarus died. That's the humanity part of him. But he come to the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. That's the God part of him. And Lazarus came out with his grave clothes on. When Jesus rose, he left his clothes inside. He wasn't going to need them again. Lazarus was going to need them again. Jesus wasn't going to need them again. Because he said in Revelation, I am Alpha, I am Omega, I'm that he was. I once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Nothing ever going to take away our Savior. He's not coming back to be whipped again. Next time he's come back on a horse. Amen. Together as saints. Not only that, but he let them do what they did to him. He let them whip him. The multitudes began to throng him when he came back. Here's this woman. I talk about the possibility of touching deity, and we could see how it happened in the New Testament, but there's no way it could have happened in the Old Testament. But let's look at the problems of touching Jesus. When she made up her mind she was going to touch him, it's when somebody told her that Jesus, if you just touch him, you can be healed. Because the Bible said she heard of Jesus. She didn't hear Jesus. She heard of Jesus. And I believe it's somebody in chapter 6 of Luke that said the multitude was pressing upon him that if they could touch him, everybody that touched him was healed. Somebody in chapter 6 come over to chapter 8 and told that woman. Then people over there was touching him, and everything that happened, they got healed. And so she made up her mind. But there's a problem when you go to touching Jesus. You're going to have a problem when you make up your mind, I'm going to get a hold of God. What kind of problem was she had? She had a physical problem. She was weak. 12 years she had been bleeding. She probably was skinny. But them sharp elbows going to come in handy when you get in a crowd. You got to use what you got. And she had a physical problem. Did you ever sit at home with a physical problem and say, there ain't no use me to go to church today? Honey, that's the time you need to go to church. That's right. I mean, God's looking for some. You know what a sacrifice of praise is? Something that costs you something. If somebody say, oh, I feel like praising him. Well, that's not much of a sacrifice. But somebody that's barely able to drag their body into church and they get up and start waving their hands. Arthritis might be in their elbow and they're waving it. But that's a sacrifice. And he said, by him, therefore, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. So there might be a sacrifice involved when you go to get a miracle from God. That woman had a physical problem. Not only did she have a physical problem, she had a people problem. Y'all don't have him, do you? Get in your car and get ready to go somewhere real fast. And traffic's backed up and they got the cones out under the bridge again. Tell me you don't have a people problem. you ever not feeling real holy and somebody's talking to you? Yeah. Tell the truth, wouldn't you just love to throat punch them? That's a people problem. People can get on your nerves. Your last nerve. She knew what she had to do, but then people was in front of her. Not only did she have a people problem, she had a purity problem. She wasn't allowed to be out in public because she was unclean. Anything she sat down on was unclean. Anybody she touched was unclean because of the purity problem that she had. So she had so much going against her that she didn't know what she was going to do. But she made up her mind, I've got to touch him. I'm going to, if I could just touch his garment. She said, I'll be made whole. So here she goes. A big crowd. She's probably kind of hiding. If anybody knows that was at the doctor's office when she was there, they know she's got a purity problem. She ain't supposed to be out. So she's probably sneaking through the crowd. God's looking for sneakers. Yeah, somebody that's not ashamed to get out and say, I'm after one thing. I got to touch his garment. And I believe she used them sharp elbows to her advantage. And she began to press her way through the crowd. And there was a multitude of people there. And all of a sudden, Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? Now, this woman is not named. You can put your name in place of her if you want to. Mark says it was a certain woman. But she didn't have no name. And all of a sudden, Jesus stopped what he was doing and said, who touched me? They thought something was wrong with him. They said, Jesus, listen. There's a multitude of thronging thee. And you're asking who touched you. He said, now listen to this. She went from a no-name woman to a somebody. Because he said, somebody touched me. She became a somebody the very minute she got a hold of him. And she found out that she was not hid. And she made herself openly, cast herself down at his feet, and told him everything that she had done and why she had done it. And Jesus, you know what he said? He said, daughter, she went from a nobody to a somebody to a daughter in Christ. It's all right. Go ahead if you want to. I'll help you. Her condition caused her to get a position. Wow, that's good. It's a whole lot better than y'all really give me credit for that one. Amen. So why do we let the devil fight us so hard and keep us out of the presence of God when we know what it's going to take? Not only did she have a physical problem and a purity problem. And let me give you the last thing. The power of touching Jesus. That's what we need to understand about the power of touching Jesus. I can't give you what you really want from God. I can pray for you. And if you got enough faith in my prayers and in the power of God, you might get a miracle. But don't leave your condition in the hands of another person. We don't have to go through a priest to get access to God. Jesus is our high priest. I'm not going to go to a priest and him tell me to do 20 Hail Marys and I'll be okay. Listen to me. The Catholic people thinks that Peter was the first pope. But let me tell you something about it. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. Now, if a man will get a mother-in-law without getting married, he's crazy. And so the power of touching Jesus, as she made her way from that house, she left their house not knowing if she's going to get back to it or not, because she was weak. She was really, really in bad shape. But she had a determination. It's now or it's never. We need some saints of God, when they come to the house of God, to have in their mind, I'm going to get it now or I'm never going to get it. It's now or it's never. Sometimes you got to get desperate. Sometimes desperate means you got to get desperate with the situation. They had never ever flown beyond the speed of sound, because every time they would get to the sound barrier, the plane would start shaking and vibrating, and they would black out, and so they'd have to let off on it. Nobody knew what was on the other side of the sound of the sound barrier. But a boy from Charleston, West Virginia, by the name of Chuck Yeager, a test pilot, he said, let me in there. I'll go beyond it. They said, but we don't know what's going to happen. He said, I don't care. I'm going to go beyond it. So he got up to the speed of sound, and the vibration started, and the plane started shaking. Instead of backing off and passing out like they normally did, he thrust forth the throttle, and when he woke up, he was beyond resistance. There was nothing holding him back. They found out that on the other side of the sound barrier, there is no resistance holding you back. This is what the devil wants to tell us. The devil said, okay, you've gone far enough. Don't go no farther. But if you only knew what was on the other side, you would press through that barrier. You know what happens when the Holy Ghost hits a lot of people? People sitting close to you want to move away a little bit. I mean, when the Holy Ghost starts, they're afraid you're going to punch them. We used to measure how great the service was by how many bobby pins we could pick up off the floor. I mean, we all need a good shaking of the power of God. The power of God needs to shake his flesh. This flesh, because the word became flesh, this flesh needs to become word. We need a, let me tell you something. I'd rather be in God's word as be in heaven. Because the Bible said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will abide forever. Romans chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is, not used to be, not going to be, the word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the dividing sunder of both soul and spirit. And it's a discerner of the thought and intent of a man's heart. You can bank on the word of God. I got a brother that lies a lot. But every once in a while he'll say, you can take what I say to the bank. Yeah, and you ain't going to have sufficient funds to cover it. But when you take the word of God, you will not be disappointed. When this woman heard about Jesus, she made up her mind, I'm going all the way. And this woman, when she summed up all of the strength, I mean, what did she have to lose? I said something one time, and a preacher couldn't hardly wait to get up and come against me. But I'm going to say it again. When I die, I hope my car's clean and shiny. I hope my grass is mowed. I hope everything's in order. The house is clean. And so he didn't have enough nerve to wait till I was there, but while I was gone, he said, You know, when I die, I don't care if my car is dirty or not. I don't care if my grass is high or not. Well, what I was trying to say was I died healthy. I died mowing grass. I died washing my car. I died doing this. I don't want to waste away in some rest home. I want to die healthy. You're going to die one way or the other. You might as well die praising and worshiping God as to die sitting in a rocking chair. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you how powerful the Word of God is. I was preaching in a nursing home one time, and they wheeled this woman out, and she had her head drooped over, and she had a receiving blanket with a little doll baby in it. And they asked her when they got out. She never even raised up or nothing. They called her name and said, would you like to testify? She raised up. She started quoting the Bible, scripture, verse, chapter, and everything. She noted, and man, it was just like a preacher, one right after another. And then all of a sudden, she said, and y'all pray for me that I'll raise this baby in the ways of God, and went right back into that stupor again. Oh, it tore me up. I said, devil, you might have affected her body and her mind, but there's something in her that you can't touch. Hallelujah to God. This physical problem, we put so much emphasis on this flesh. We baby this flesh. We feed it everything to try to make it live longer. I'm going to tell you something. In the past 17 years, 104 people has died lifting weights in the gym, but there's only been one died eating a donut. So you better make up your mind what you want to do. Amen. Make good choices. I'm not afraid to die. I don't want to die. I'm not afraid to die. Tracy came to me a few months ago, and she said, Dad, here's a 10-pound vest that you're going to use. We're going on a trip and going to go hiking, and you got to get ready because we're taking you with us. 81 years old, and she's taking me hiking. Is she trying to kill me or what? I said, okay. I said, put that vest on. We went walking up this mountain. I got to the top and it was, give me just a minute. A couple of days later, about 30 seconds is all I need. A couple of weeks later, I wasn't even stopping. She was getting me in shape. We need to get in shape to die. That's right. We need to get in shape so we can die to this flesh and worship God. Somebody said, what do you think about the way I praise God? Irregardless of what you think about the way we praise God, if holding your hand up and worshiping God is what you need, that's what you need to do it. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, holding your hand up is a sign of victory. When Moses was fighting against the Amalekites, and when he held his hands up down in the valley, Israel began to win the battle. His hands was heavy and he dropped them. When he dropped his hands, the Amalekites began to fight against them and they won. So he got Joshua and Hur, one on each side of him, and they stood there holding his hands up until the flesh or the Amalekites was defeated. When Jesus left this world, he took his disciples out by the way of Bethany and he began to talk to them and tell them. He said, you go in Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued with power from on high. And the Bible says, as he was blessing them, he lifted up his hands and was called up into to heaven. We don't never see where he ever took them down. So why we're down here fighting the flesh, the devil, he's up there with his hands up saying, you've got victory. You can have victory because the sign of victory is lifted up hands. Amen, amen. Amen, 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 amen.